Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, breaking down the latest in reality TV and pop culture. How are we? Post Vanderpump Rules finale. I haven't watched it yet, but if you stayed up late last night to watch all the tea spilleth over to watch Ariana Madix on Watch What Happens Live. You know, I record this on Wednesday afternoon, so I'm still on like that anxious high, you know, getting ready to watch it. I know I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, but before we get into it, because the one and only Greg Grippo is here, I didn't realize that I scheduled Greg on the same week as the Vanderpump Rules finale, which like had me feeling bad because I want him to come on and have his moment, which he still is going to have his moment. But a little housekeeping before we get to Greg, because I love you truly in my heart of hearts, bonus podcast episode coming out on Friday, recapping the Vanderpump Rules finale and Ariana on Watch What Happens Live and any other mayhem that happens between this very moment and Friday at midnight. So essentially, we're going to do the regular episode today, although because my lovely producer is agreeing to work overtime with me this week, we're just going to keep it cute today, only Greg for our deep dive. And then, like I said, on Friday, we will do a bonus podcast episode. So don't miss it. Come back. Two episodes of MPT in 1 week. It really does feel like Christmas, doesn't it? We get the finale, we get Ariana, and we get two MPTs. Also, if you are on the Patreon page, normally, you know, we have Extra Pop on Monday. We have a Bachelor Brain Dump on Friday. Because I'm doing two regular MPT episodes this week, we're going to go ahead and skip the Bachelor Brain Dump, but we will be back and better than ever on Monday. I know there's still some things to talk about, so let's briefly talk about them. We had Roni news this week when it comes to the reboot, when it comes to the Ultimate Girls Trip. There's a rumor that Kim Kardashian is dating Tom Brady. That's on Extra Pop right now. The link to the Patreon is in the show notes below. So if you want to catch up on all that news, it's very easy to do so. You just click the little link. Let's talk quickly about Luke and Tayshia. Luke LeBranson and Tayshia Adams were spotted at Tiffany's. I heard on the third floor, which is notorious for being engagement ring and wedding band floor. I don't know. It's a new Tiffany's in New York City. If you're from New York and you can attest to this, let me know if it's true. Are they looking at engagement rings? I don't know. I find it very annoying that Lindsay Hubbard can't post a photo of the two of them on Easter, but they're just out and about at Tiffany's. You know, and also you didn't hear it here, except you did hear it here. I do know that Luke and Tayshia are going on a little bit of a romantic getaway soon, maybe to Italy. I don't know. Maybe he'll propose there. Who knows? I wouldn't necessarily hate it. I mean, we really not too invested because they've been so private about it. But I just think that is so odd that they don't, that one of them doesn't want a picture of them on Easter, but they're going to go to Tiffany's, the third floor. Anyways, speaking of Summer House, it has ruined me, you guys. It has sucked the life and love and joy right out of my heart, like a vacuum cleaner. Summer should be fun. It's not fun. I so badly didn't want to talk about Summer House this week that I posted a clip from the podcast last week instead, because I'm over it. It's so just, but what I will say, and you know, if there's one thing I'm going to do, it's stick up for Lindsay Hubbard. I don't care. You don't like it? I don't care. Carl comes back into the house, puts a t-shirt over the camera. She's like, no, babe, we are here to make a reality TV show. And you and I are going to be on camera storming out of this house, whether you like it or not. She takes the game very seriously. She takes her job very seriously. And that's what I say about that. Watch Martha's Vineyard, a breath of fresh air when it comes to Summer House. And I know that it's really hard for new shows to really get off the ground, especially like when you have Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, competing in the same time slot as like a Succession, right? That has everybody just gagged. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard is not getting the love that it deserves. I always wait 3 episodes before doing like an official review, but we're 2 episodes in and I'm telling you, it's great. Give it a try. If you long for the old Summer House where they're out, they're having fun, but there's still like little bit pieces of drama here and there, but it's still like intriguing drama. Martha's Vineyard is for you and we want to secure a second season. Okay. That was all my cliff notes of things that I want to discuss for the day. Before we get to the one and only, an MPT exclusive deep dive with Bachelor Nation fan favorite, Bachelor Nation villain. It depends who you ask. Welcome, Greg Grippo. Maybe the most famous person to come on MPT. Welcome, Meryl Streep.
Shut up. Yeah.
How are you, Greg?
I'm doing well. How's it going?
Good. Did you ever think that when you became part of Bachelor Nation that you would also be referred to as Meryl Streep?
No, I gotta admit though, I kind of love it.
You should put it in your Instagram bio, like Greg Grippo, aka.
No, I really should. No, I mean she's like an incredible actress. So I love to be known for it.
Well, Greg, how are you? What's new? Let's just catch up for a second.
Not too much. Has changed in like the last 6 months. Just me and Victoria have been in Nashville. I just been hanging out at my family's house in Jersey for Mother's Day. I have like a niece and nephew, their birthdays were this week. So I just been hanging out in Jersey and yeah, I haven't seen like my friends in a while, like Andrew and Justin, they've been out in LA. So honestly, like nothing's crazy has changed in my life.
Let me ask you probably the most important question of this interview. Mm-hmm. Do you watch Vanderpump Rules? Are you up on the Scandoval?
A little bit. Victoria loves that show to death. So I just started watching about a month and a half ago. But then when I started following you, I see that you post about it. It is nuts what's going on.
It's the craziest thing. And of course, tonight, because we're recording this on Wednesday, is like the Super Bowl for Bravo fans, right? It's the finale. It's when the whole entire cast finds out about.
Oh, this is when it goes down.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Tonight. So clear your schedule because you're watching Bravo.
I feel like everybody in the world is talking about this. It's wild how they have been doing interviews about this whole show. Like, I mean, it's gotten me into it. I feel like it's like they're genius, like a marketing like genius, the show for like letting them do these interviews because it's gotten me to be like, holy shit, what actually happens?
Yeah. Not only that, and it's just been – it's just the wildest thing because it's 10 years in the making. I mean, I know you said that you just started watching it, but literally like if you, cause you know, let's just be real. Some people out there would put you in the villain category. Mm-hmm. Some people would put Victoria in the villain category. I don't. I think other people, like I put you guys in the fan favorite category. So it depends really on who you ask, but these people like, the way that they have become villains does not hold a candle to like any Bachelor Nation villain. And I can just imagine the torment that they're going to. But it's like also if you're going to do an outrageous thing, like James Kennedy said, and cheat on somebody of 10 years with a co-star, like you have to expect people to be outraged.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I also... I'm not joking you. I'm not a big TV person. I mean, she's got me into like watching shows. Like without her, I never watched TV unless it was like sports or like watching basketball or football. I was never a TV person. But that's wild that they've been like filmed for the last 10 years, like the damn Kardashians one. And like, two, I mean, yeah, what went down is obviously crazy. I mean, I just... It sucks, especially being in like Victoria and I's position, like of like receiving hate and being on that end. You can only imagine what these people are going through right now.
I know. It's really, really tough. That's why I'm interested to see how this all plays out. And of course, the reunion, but we will table the Vanderpump Rules talk because it's going to be all over the place for the rest of the week. But I really like to start with my Bachelor Nation guests. Just give us a refresher of how you ended up on the show. Did you apply or did you get recruited?
Gosh, my story dates back a long time ago. I was in acting school at the time. I think I was 23 years old and I received my first call to be on the show. And I was dating someone. They were out in LA and they just moved to LA and I received an LA phone number calling my phone. And like I was in the middle of classes, so I took the call. I was like, hello. And they're like, hey, this is so-and-so from The Bachelor. Can I speak to Greg? And I was like, I hung up the phone. I thought it was one of my friends pranking me. And then I was like, oh, wait, this could be a test. She's testing me.
Your like, girlfriend.
Yeah, we were in like the beginning stages of talking. So I was like, she's testing me to see if like I'm like for real. And they kept on calling and calling. And like, I was like, who is this? And they were like, so-and-so from The Bachelor, like we would like you to like submit like a form for us. And it was for Becca Kufrin season. Mm-hmm. And I ended up just like, I was so young and I was like, I remember saying to them, I was like, to be honest with you guys, I still have like the email and everything. And I was like, to be honest with you guys, like, I'm just like way too young for this type of thing. I'm not looking to get married at all. So like, I'm not doing this. They were like, all right, like we respect it. And then they just kept on calling me year after year. And then until, Claire's season, I was casted for it. I was flown out. I was getting ready for like night one and then COVID hit and like the whole entire world shut down. Mm-hmm. And we were released. So it was weird. So like they flew us all back home and like the cast pictures got leaked and everything. Mm-hmm. And then like, I just remember like following it and like all these people were following me. I was like, what the is going on? It was a bizarre time. I really didn't know if like I was gonna do the show or like go back on. And then they called me in June or July. I forget exactly which day they called me. It was in the summer though, when they were about to like refilm. They asked me if I wanted to come back out, and I was like, to be honest with you, like I don't think that her and I are gonna mesh, and I feel like I'm just gonna be like wasting my time out there. And like, I don't want to like waste your guys' time either. Like, I just like don't feel like I'm really into this right now. And they were like, all right, we respect that. And then they called 6 months later and it was like, it was such weird timing. My mom was like, it was so weird. It was on the date of my dad's like anniversary of when he passed. It was December 30th. And my mom also had a call with a medium, like these psychics to like, mm-hmm. you know, get in touch with people. And I scheduled it for my mom. It was like this like famous medium. And they call me that night about an hour before she was on like the phone with like the medium. And like they call me and they're telling me how it's going to be like a girl I would really like. And I'm like, I really don't know. I don't know about this again. And this is like 3 or 4 years in the making. I'm like, yeah. I don't know if like I can continue talking to you guys.
Now that I'm doing MPT full time, it is more important than ever that you support our show sponsors. Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to what you love doing, like mostly watching reality TV shows. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Plus, there's so much variety. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan and veggie, and more. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And the person who called me, the medium at the end was on the phone with my mom the next hour. And she was like, and for your son, like, you know, they're showing me like this name, and then they named the producer that called me, and it was the weirdest thing. I was like,
oh my gosh.
So I ended up doing it. I mean, I was completely single and they were like telling me, they were vouching for me how it's going to be somebody I really like. So I was like, you know what, screw it. I didn't have anything else going on. I was single in New York City, working my 9 to 5, and I was completely up for it at that point.
But you still, Katie's season was like a COVID season still, right? What was that like? Were you secluded the whole time from people? Like, because honestly, COVID for me, I suppressed like 99.9% of my memories. I don't remember anything that happened during COVID, but you obviously have this life-changing, you know, life event. What would you say? I don't know if there's anything that would be surprising, but like, what was the day-to-day with the COVID protocols while you were, you know, filming?
I think we got tested every 2 or 3 days. I mean, they would stick that Q-tip so far up your nose.
We all remember.
Wild. Yeah. I mean, it was like a nice escape from the world. Yeah. Honestly. No phones. We didn't see what was going on with the news. I mean,
yeah.
Like I was bonding with like all the guys. Andrew and I became best friends in the house. You know, like it was a really great escape from everything that was going on. You know, it sucked not knowing what was going on in the world, but I mean, they would keep us up to date if anything like serious happened, but right. It was, they did a good job of like, you know, keeping us entertained in the house.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be like on lockdown, cause we all were on lockdown, you might as well be on lockdown, you know, shooting one of the most well-known dating shows. Yeah. Would you say that you walked away from Katie's season with a true love in your bromance with Andrew?
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting because I remember, and I tell him this in person, when I first met him on night one, I was like, this guy. He was like speaking in like a British accent. And I was like, are you from England? And he was like, no. And I was like, okay. But then the next day rolled over. And they all thought I was like this goofy ass dude, which I am, which whatever, some people also agree with that. I don't care. But the next day rolls over and we're like talking. It was like Andrew, I, and Hunter, and me and Andrew, like, I don't know what it was, but like, it's almost like we've like known each other for like years at this point, because like, we just started looking at each other. And it was like two best friends in a class, like looking at each other with like the sub, and we just started cracking the hell up to the point where like the producers were like getting pissed, like trying to get us to talk about Katie. And me and him just were continuing to just like bawl out crying, laughing. And the cameramen were like, just like crying, laughing. It was such a good start.
That's amazing. Yeah. Because I mean, I don't want to spend like too much time on Katie's season, because it feels like it was ages ago, and it was ages ago, but there are certain things that, you know, there's just question marks around. Like, I have a question about when you guys were getting down to the end, and there's that scene, I think you go out on the balcony and you see like Katie and Blake playing hockey. Do you remember that moment? Who told you to go out there?
Nobody told me to go out there. I'm not kidding.
Are you lying?
I swear on everything. Like, it was a mistake. And like, I know that they have to like film certain things, but like, they're like supposed to be like filming me, like do like your B-roll type thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I put on shoes because like I was going to go golfing with one of the producers. And like, as I'm like looking outside to like look where like our setup was, nobody tells me to go outside either. Like, I'm chilling. And like, I try to like go see like where we're going to play. And it was like in this like beautiful place in the mountains. It was a gorgeous area. And as I see that, I see like them pulling up, and like they were trying to get me to come back inside. And like, I was so like, I need to see this. And they just started filming it, I guess.
Wow. That kind of feels like almost the opposite of what we hear, you know, from other Bachelor Nation members, where they try to get a reaction out of you, especially on camera. So to hear the fact that they were actually trying to get you to go back inside is like different from what we've heard.
Yeah, no, they, I'm sorry. Do you hear my dog snoring?
No.
Okay, good. No, I think that, I'm not going to lie to you, I think that they were truly worried about how I would react. Because, I mean, I don't even think I ever said this, but like, I legit had like a panic attack. I want to say like midway through the season. It was just like such like a bizarre like type of setting for me. And I don't think that I truly believe that they like really didn't want me to see that. Hmm. I think that they knew like how much it would like shatter me. And I think that they were scared of me spiraling. And I don't know if they wanted me to spiral, but I did. And that's what happened.
When would you say, if you don't mind, you know, talking about that experience more, when would you say you had that panic attack moment? Was it when there was still a lot of guys around?
Yeah. There was like, I want to say like 12, good, like 10 to 12 people left. There was like, I mean, we only see so much that happens, right? And I just like remember like something so small happened in the house. Like somebody ate so-and-so's food or something. And like one of us like said like a snarky comment behind the back. And like, it was just like the dumbest like little argument. Like, I mean, they had to get anything at this point because like we were all like buddies at this point. So
yeah,
all of a sudden I remember like all of us talking like outside and it was like, it was like this like little intimate talk and all of a sudden like five cameramen started rushing over and like it was like all on our face. And I just like remember like having like this like weird experience being like, holy, where am I?
Yeah.
Like, this is just like bizarre right now. I was like, I don't like this. I remember just like walking away and like I was just like, I was freaked out. I was spooked. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just like a spooky time. I was still getting used to it.
Yeah.
And like I just didn't love that.
In that moment, did you contemplate whether or not this was the right setting for you?
I mean, it definitely came to my mind. Like, I was like, I don't know if like I'm mentally like okay with like doing this right now. I mean, like, especially after the season, I mean, everything that came to the forefront, I was just like, I have so much to like still like work on with myself. But I mean, I don't think I've ever been like away from like my family and like my friends for that long. And like, it was like in the midst of like such an extreme time with COVID. And I remember like one of my grandma was like extremely sick at the time. I just remember everything at once was just like, I felt like I bottled everything and like something so small just like made me kind of just like, I remember I was like crying in my room and like, I was just like not feeling like safe at all. And like, it was weird too, because like at the time, like you're really starting to like the person that's there. Like I was really starting to like Katie, and on top of like me feeling all these things, like, you know, she's coming in, walking in, like she's like grabbing one of our good friends to go on a date. And we're all like, oh my God, I like want to like scream right now. It was just a bizarre like experience.
It's a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And I think even that little story gives more context behind, you know, how that ended for you, you know, that conversation between you and Katie. Were you like 100% positive that you were not going to walk away with her when you had that one-on-one talk? Going into that conversation where you tell her that you're going to leave?
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know I was going to say I was going to leave. Like, I remember being like really, really hurt. And, you know, being in like a room for, I don't know, it was like going on like 48 hours at the time, like alone, and like your thoughts also didn't do me like any justice.
Right.
And so I really didn't know what I was going to get out of that talk, honestly. I wanted her to see obviously like how hurt I was and like try to communicate the best way possible. I wasn't in a good place to do that. My gut was telling me that she was going to be with Blake. And like, I believe that she's also said that. I've been tagged in like things like from like, she went on the Game of Roses podcast and said it was going to be Blake. So like, I just like had that gut feeling. I didn't do it the right way, obviously, but like my gut was just like telling me like, I should just like distance myself from like the experience.
Interesting. Was there any part of you that, you know, had this gut feeling and thought, I don't want, if it's not going to be, I don't want to sit through another rose ceremony. Like, I'd rather just go deal away with all that, you know, BS that is the bullet points of the show and just have a real conversation with me, Katie. You know, I'm speaking as you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we don't have to go through the formalities. Was that a thought in your head?
I think that was like my main reason for it. Like, I think my whole argument during the time was like I feel like this is like 100% not me at this point. And I was like, I do not want to just like sit through another rose ceremony, meet your family, go to fantasy suites just for it not to be me. Like, let's just talk about this like right here and now. Because like at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like you kind of have like a really good sense. I mean, we were 6 days out from the engagement portion. Yeah. And like, I just like wanted us to be completely real with one another, honestly, at that point.
Yeah. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis. So then, you know, you decide that you're going to leave. You still have after the final rose kind of looming over your head. What is your, if you can remember, what was your headspace like walking out onto that stage when, you know, these terms being used to label that conversation were already thrown out there, right? Like we saw gaslighting a lot, that be a term that she used, that other people used. Did that make you more anxious or did that make you feel like I kind of know what she's about to say to me?
No, I felt like, cause we watched our episode prior to going out there, like her and I in like our own separate setting. And I just remember being like, you know what, at the end of the day, like she's happy. Like that's what she came here for. Hopefully we can leave off on good terms.
Yeah.
Like I remember saying something like, I don't like have any regrets. Like I looking back on it, I was so stupid that I said that. I should have like addressed things like clearer and earlier. But I really didn't mean it like that. Like that I didn't have any regrets. I meant like, you know, like no regrets in life. Like,
going on the show,
yeah,
right?
Like,
following
yeah,
your heart.
Like, not just like overall.
Yeah.
I didn't mean like that specific argument. And I don't even think they asked me like that specific argument. I think they just like said, like, do you have any regrets at all about this like whole experience? And I think like that might have, you know, she was hurt, you know, at that time, which, you know, whatever. She, at the end of the day, like she needed to get out like a lot of her hurt. So I don't knock her for giving it to me, you know. If anything, it made me, you know, like realize like a lot more that I had to do on myself and made me like, it made me hurt that I hurt somebody that bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all about all I can have done.
You know, I just also feel like, especially when it comes to Bachelor Nation, and this is really how I approach, you know, the way that I do things on my podcast and on my pages, like Bachelor Nation specifically, these aren't people who are, you know, like a Vanderpump Rules, where you're signing up to be a reality TV star for however many seasons they'll let you go on. When it comes to Bachelor people, they're like taking an adventure, you know, a one-off, like, let me just do this for fun and see what happens. Maybe I'll fall in love. And then you have these, like I said, really high pressure situations, cameras in your face, which is very unnatural, high emotional states for everybody. And then you often see people in situations that, like, I've been in a fight with my boyfriend. I've never had a camera in my face for millions of people to like nitpick it apart. Yeah. So it's like, oh, I just don't. Bachelor Nation is very critical of the people mm-hmm. that are on screen. And I just feel like, oh, if some of my fights with my boyfriends were aired on TV, I'm sure you wouldn't see the best side of me. You know, when it comes to like villains and even fan favorites, nobody is as bad as you think they are. And probably nobody is as great as you think they are.
That's the other point. Yeah.
How did you handle like the public backlash from that?
I think, you know, honestly, looking back on it, was probably like a good thing for me, honestly. Because I experienced really like both ends of like the spectrum. Cause I feel like in the beginning, like I was put on like this pedestal, like the first like couple weeks. And then the last couple weeks, I was like, everyone hates me. So it was honestly like really humbling. It was probably what was best for me, honestly, to just like kind of come back to life in this sense and just be like, you know, this was a crazy experience. You know, at the end of the day, like we're not athletes. We're not, we didn't like create like any wild apps. We're not millionaires, you know, like there's some people for sure that become like very successful after this show. And like, there's a lot of people that can just like be, have like a lot of success post show, but at the end of the day, we're just like all everyday people. And that's like what you have to like, just like consistently remind yourself. I mean, I feel like after the show, that's like a hard thing to do. Because like, you kind of feel like you kind of have this like sense, this like false sense of being like, oh, this is going to like last forever. And yeah, like nobody gives a shit. Like they might, give a shit for like 3 weeks, but then they like, nobody really gives a shit. Like we're like just like hitting on each other for like, we're in a 6 week relationship. Like, let's just like all like chill out for a second.
There is a big discussion though going on right now in general about mental health for reality TV stars in this climate. I mean, have you seen anything about what's going on with like Love is Blind with that whole situation?
I'm not gonna lie, not really. I feel like I might have passed that on TikTok.
Let's just keep scrolling.
Essentially,
they're just, you know, there are reality stars out there that are saying, you know, we're put in these situations to make us act a certain way, whether it's running on very little sleep, whether it's inconsistent meal schedules, whether it's any of those things, you know, and one side of the argument is saying, these aren't, you know, your civil rights essentially on these shows are kind of take a backseat to drama, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have other people like Nick Viall is, you know, really talking about it, who says, you know, you signed up for this. You have no room to talk. I see both sides, but I want to know from your experience and based on what you dealt with in your mental health, both on the show and off the show, what you think about the conversation that's being had.
I think that's interesting. I think that there's a place though where like we can all meet in the middle. Because I do believe with like reality TV, I don't know what it is like on these other shows, but like there is, you know, some sort of sleep deprivation that's definitely happening. That's like getting you to like act in ways that you don't normally do. You're in a secluded area for how many weeks, you know, not talking to like really anybody. So like if there's, especially like you also feel like most of your talks, like it's quite a stressful environment because you're just like in the back of your head, you're like, I hope I say the right thing because I'm on camera right now.
Yes.
So I do think like if their argument is like that they want like a mental health coach or therapist on scene, like I do think that that's like a good positive to have. I mean, why not at the end of the day, like get people to vent out their issues like off camera. You know, at the end of the day, like we are all signing up for a show, but I do think that there can be a happy medium in that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. One more question about Katie's season before we move on. And I want to preface this by saying, I mean no shade to her when I say this whatsoever. But on After the Final Rose, you know, you got accused of being an actor, acting with her.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel a certain type of way seeing now the career path that she has gone down after being the Bachelorette?
You're funny.
I mean, no shade. It's an honest question.
No, I mean, no, at the end of the day, like, I don't think that like that was like her end goal of being on this show. I can only imagine what it was like in her position. Cause I mean, there was like so many people claiming like I was like an actor, that like I went to this like prestigious acting school. Yeah, I went to a good acting school. If I'm going to go to an acting school and want to become an actor, I hope that I would go to a good one. I put myself in a position where I wanted to learn acting.
Right.
And I didn't like it. And like they kept on making all these bizarre claims, like he took it off his LinkedIn. I'm like, I never had it on my LinkedIn. Then they were like, he doesn't like he lives at home. And I'm like, I live in New York. And like there were so many claims.
Yeah.
And like I just wish, you know, like prior to it, her and I just like could have had a conversation. But I mean, that wasn't the case. And, you know, it is what it is. And like, you know, all kudos to her for like finding something she's happy with doing. She says she's a comedian now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's great for her. I mean, if it's bringing her happiness, good for her. I mean, acting will never be something for me, though. Like, I don't find happiness in that. Like, I don't want to do it. I've been saying that for years. I mean, I never went on an audition in my life. And I think still people to this day believe that, like, I still get DMs, like, that I'm an actor. And it's like,
you're like, no, I can assure you I'm not.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm not.
Okay, we'll put Katie season to bed 3 years ago. Wow, it really does feel like so long ago. But then, you know, we never actually see you on the show again, yet somehow here you are in the middle of yet another dramatic twist on the last season of Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah. My first question is, obviously you didn't go and there's reasons why, which we'll get into, but were you approached to do Bachelor in Paradise?
No, I was dating somebody at the time. And I mean, I think that that was like pretty known to the producers. I mean, I think that they have like a good sense of like what's going on TikTok. And like, I'm sure they look up things and like they keep in touch with everyone and like hear the gossip also through other cast members.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even approached. No.
So what is the timeline then of that relationship for you ending and then you connecting with Victoria? Because we know you guys were friends before. Mm-hmm. Then she goes on Bachelor in Paradise. You're still in this relationship. So kind of piece that together for us a little bit.
I mean, with my relationship, there was like so much off and on going on. I mean, she lived in a different country for one and it was like quite hard. Mm. And we ended while Victoria was in paradise. And I believe, I mean, this is like a year ago now. I want to say we ended like first week of June or so. And I remember just like sitting around, and Victoria was always somebody that like, you know, like I hit it off with like, as friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's like, great. And like, I was like hoping, you know, like you're just like hoping for somebody to like come back single. and like Andrew like comes back and like, he came like right to my place down the shore in Jersey. And he's like, I hate to break it to you, but like, she's engaged. And I just like, remember, like, I was like, oh, shit.
Heartbroken.
I was like,
heartbroken.
Awesome. Yeah.
So what was that first conversation then like with Victoria after she ended the engagement with Johnny? Were you like nervous to text her? Were you still having those feelings or were you just kind of checking in?
I didn't text her. No, she reached out to me.
Mm.
Yeah, she reached out to me. And yeah, we ended up meeting up. And obviously like everything like had to be like behind closed doors and like neither of us like really knew what was going to go on. And like, we hung out one time, in Nashville and like, it went really well. And then at that point I was just kind of like, we went to like a grocery store and like this woman was like trying to follow us, film us. And I was like, shit. I was like, I remember being like, we cannot do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, there was just like a lot of talking back and forth. I think that like we were both like truly like really interested in one another. And it sucks the whole timing of it. And I mean, we obviously like had that talk. I'm like, you know, like maybe it's the best thing to just wait.
Yeah.
But also in the back of my mind, I was like, what if her feelings, you know, vanish all of a sudden, you know? I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, what if mine goes away? I was like, I don't want to lose this feeling right now. Like, I love this feeling right now. And then we talked like 48 hours later after I was like, let's take a back seat to this. And then we were like, well, let's meet up again. And then we chose Italy.
I mean, did you guys really think that nobody was going to see you?
Yeah, in Italy? Without a doubt. I mean, whatever, it was dumb. I get it, but like, we wanted to have some sense of like normalcy. Like, Yeah.
And that has to be difficult too, because, you know, like I said earlier, you guys went on a reality dating show and you still have people like whipping out their cell phone every time you walk past them. That has to be a weird thing to get used to.
No. Yeah. It was truly weird. Yeah. I mean, I believe that like we're both used to it and it doesn't really like happen that often, obviously, anymore, especially like since that's all cooled down.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it was definitely like a hectic couple of weeks for sure.
How soon in Italy did you realize you guys were busted? Did you like realize on that trip that people were starting to figure it out?
First day it was great. Like nobody at all noticed us. And then she wanted to go see the Colosseum and she brought this wig and it looked ridiculous on me. I think that she has a photo of it on her page. And I was like, I'm not wearing this. I was like, if anything is going to like cause like more attention to us. Right. And we pull up like online to like the Colosseum and there was like, just like so many people waiting in line. And then all of a sudden there's these like Americans in front of us and we're like, shit, they're like around like mid-20s, early 20s. And we're
and
like,
you're like, right, we're done.
Yeah. And then we like walked up the stairs and they were like walking past us. And then like, we heard them like gasp and we just ran for it.
Were you scared?
Hell yeah, I was scared. Yeah. I was fucking terrified. Her and I were like freaking out that night. Like, cause the show hasn't even like aired yet at this point, or like, it's like in the midst of them like just talking. So like people are just starting to like really be like connected to these two, and now they're having to like deal with like these rumors on the side. It was just like it sucked, and like I felt for her in that moment because like I wasn't receiving much heat at that time, but like she was getting it like pretty like hardcore because they were watching her and, you know, like having like this love story.
Yeah.
And it was a rough situation to be in.
So you guys come back, you're not, you know, contractually obligated to go to that reunion be on camera, but you do. So I want to know, production called you and said what to get you to go on the reunion?
I remember she brought it to my attention first because they called her after Italy. And I remember her calling me, and this is after like the Italy trip, like a day or two after. And I heard in her voice, I don't know what, like, made me know what she was about to ask me. I was like, you have some balls if like I know what you're about to ask me, right? It was like, she was like, so I talked to, and as soon as she said I talked to, I was like,
you're like, no.
And then they called me, the producers, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna do this. I was like, this is about them, this has nothing to do with me at the end of the day. Because like it just, everything about it just sucked.
Yeah.
Because like if they broke up and like she was with like anybody else, like I don't think that she really would have gotten like, it would have been like as much of like possibly like a big deal, like if she was like with like anybody else outside of like the Bachelor world.
Yeah.
But, like, since it was somebody inside the Bachelor world, I think that's why it was like so rough. I mean, it was just all a factor of it getting played like on screen while we were together. But like, I don't know. I mean, what was the question? Like, how did it happen? How did I get there?
What convinced you to do it at the end of the day?
It was all for her. Honestly, I was getting advised in like the background to not do it.
Cause you're putting yourself like directly in the line of fire that you've already been through. Right.
Yeah. And I know this isn't going to be some cute little thing.
Yeah.
Her and I,
yeah,
you know, like at the end of the day, like I had to face the facts that like I was becoming a part of the story, which sucked. You know, I didn't want anything to do with it. There was so many people in my life telling me not to. But like, I mean, I caught wind of what was going on the other end, what she was getting accused of, what like, you know, I guess a lot of people like around him were commenting on her page, and I didn't want her to walk into that alone. I mean, like we did this like together, and like, I wanted to kind of show like how committed I was to her. And that was my way of doing it. I don't think that we would have worked if I just like let her take that on by herself. I mean, she walked in and like people were like booing her. And I wasn't really shown on screen, but I remember being backstage and being like, holy shit, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is really bad right now. And like, it was a really tough environment for us to be in, but I mean, I had to do it for her. I didn't take a cent either. I just did it.
Well, good for you. Stand by your girl, Greg Griffo. We love to see it.
I had to.
I mean, I really do think too, though, you guys complement each other really well. Even not seeing you guys on TV, I feel like there's just people that you can see. And I know social media isn't like, you know, real life. But do you think that this is your happily ever after?
Yeah. I mean, I've gone into it exactly thinking. I really wouldn't have put myself in that situation.
Right.
After the final rose, if like, I was like, she's worth it at the end of the day. She was completely worth it in my eyes. I knew what I was going to get. I think that we both knew deep down, like, and the best case scenario we were like hoping for was like, we hope like there's like still like some people out there that like are like good for them.
Yeah.
But like we knew going into it, we were seeing the comments left and right. We were seeing these Bachelor pages post like negative things about it. We knew what people were going to say. So I really wouldn't have put myself in that situation if like that wasn't like my exact thought going into it.
Yeah. Well, like life is messy. Reality TV is messy. And if at the end of the day, in my opinion, if you can have a successful Bachelor Nation couple, like I would much rather see you and Victoria married in 3 years than have to like keep getting invested in these couples that don't work out. You know, I feel like fans are really over that. Right. I remembered my question and I wrote it down while you were talking. Okay. What would you say to the people that still don't believe your guys' version of the story? And does it still bother you that really no matter what you say, sometimes there will be people that choose not to believe you guys?
I think that we've grown so much throughout this all. I mean, this was definitely such a like learning experience for us. But we both learned about it on our own seasons, like me with on Katie's season, her on Pete's season. There's people that will forever call her certain names from her season. There will forever be people that call me a gaslighter no matter what. And like, I can't continue to like make myself like vulnerable to those types of people and like let that affect my mental health anymore. I will admit though, it definitely affected us and me and her personally for, I want to say a few weeks or to like a month. Like we were both definitely like really shook up. But I mean like it doesn't bother us anymore. We live our lives. We're happy.
Yeah.
Like that's really all that matters at the end of the day.
I love that. What's next for you guys? What's the plan?
Well, we've been looking at places in Nashville. I've been there now for like the last 6 months. Just planning on spending the summer, hopefully in Jersey. I really want to show her my hometown and spend a great summer here. Looking to possibly get another dog. I mean, we're living life over here.
I love it. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't want to pry and you can tell me to shut up, but I did have a lot of people ask me if like an engagement is a goal. Can we say, is it a goal?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, like her and I talked about it, for sure. I mean, it's definitely like, hell, I mean, I'm turning 30, this upcoming month, like June 5th. So, I mean, I'm at that point in my life where like, I'm done with like going out.
Yeah.
I'm done with like that type of life. I'm enjoying like where my life's at. I like going to bed at 9 PM. I like having somebody in like a stable life. Like, I mean, that's like what I want in my life. And like, she knows that as well. And we're just working to a point that gets us there.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how that happens too? Because I am at the same kind of, you know, place in my life. I'm 30. I'm engaged. I'm getting married next year. But it's like a light switch goes off where it's like you meet the right person and the drama is gone. The mm-hmm. games are gone. And you're like, this is what's meant for my life.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel with Victoria?
Yeah, that's how it's been for me. It's definitely been like a light switch. I mean, last year during this time, I was, gosh, where was I with the guys? I think like we were out in LA, just I was back to sleeping on like a couch or something. And like, I can't do that anymore. I just,
yeah.
can't. Like, I've got a taste of like the good life being in like a relationship. And like, I love it. I love it.
Oh, well, we love that. See, mm-hmm. your whole journey has led you to this moment.
Yeah.
And if Greg Grippo gets The Bachelor happily ever after, I mean, who would have thunk it with Victoria either? Yeah, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, Meryl Streep, you know.
Well, Greg, thank you so much. I had so much fun. I hope you did too.
No, I did. Pleasure being on here. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. What a wonderful chat with Greg. I hope you learned something today. I hope you lived. I hope you laughed. I hope you loved. And I hope you dance. I don't know. Just spitballing out here. Don't forget. Tomorrow is the day. Bonus podcast, all things Vanderpump Rules finale. Ariana on Watch What Happens Live. If Lala's going on Instagram Live, if Sheena's going on Instagram Live, if they're doing podcast episodes, I probably won't have time to listen to it, but we're going to get in there. And I want you people to show out for me and for our obsession with Vanderpump Rules because it's coming to an end. And I want it to, but I don't want it to. All right, leave a review if you're feeling nice, if you're feeling like you want to leave your girl some love, a little love you like a sis, a little 5-star review does wonders for the pod. And you know I do. I love you like a sis. See you tomorrow.
A Huda Media Production.